It's 7:45. I'm Anthony Marino with KRWG News. Moody's Investors Service expects natural gas prices to remain low into next year. As Houston Public Media's Travis Bubinick explains, that's likely to lead to more gas being burned off into the air, a problem in New Mexico as well as Texas.
As companies produce more and more oil, they're getting a lot of excess gas with it, and there's not enough pipelines in Texas to harness all that gas, so it gets flared off. Even though more pipelines are getting built, Moody's says new oil pipelines are also in the works, and that will spur even more oil production. Colin Layden's with the advocacy group Environmental Defense Fund.
You know, it's almost a repetitive cycle. You drill for more oil, more gas comes up, the price stays low because there's so much gas. That leads to more flaring.
Critics say there should be stricter limits on flaring, but state regulators haven't seemed interested in that idea. So the problem's mostly been left to industry to solve. But for now, the incentive to solve it is more about reputation than economics. In Houston, I'm Travis Bubinick.
On Monday, the Las Cruces City Council approved a resolution to provide $75,000 in humanitarian assistance for asylum seekers being dropped off in the city by federal officials. Large numbers of migrant families continue to cross the U.S.-Mexico border claiming asylum. Many arrive in need of medical care, some becoming sick while they're in government custody. The New Mexico Department of Health is asking for more medical volunteers to help out, and here in southern New Mexico, volunteer doctors and nurses are stepping up to treat these newly arrived patients. Mallory Falk reports from one makeshift clinic in Mesilla.
At the Holy Cross Catholic Retreat Center, a 9-year-old boy is undergoing a medical evaluation. He sits at a corner table in the cafeteria, a makeshift medical clinic, and swings his Spider-Man sneakers as a nurse tries to coax a thermometer under his tongue.
There you go. Muy bien.
The boy traveled to the U.S. from Guatemala with his mother and older sister. We're not using their names to protect their privacy. They say they spent a week in government custody, then got released to the retreat center. They'll stay here for a night or two, then join family in the Northeast.
Is that his blood pressure and his pulse?
No.
118 over 72, 117.
Eugene Marciniak and Barbara Clark, a volunteer doctor and nurse, check the boy's vitals. They think he has a mild case of the flu. Clark pours him some medicine, thick orange syrup. He gulps it down and grimaces at the taste. As his mother laughs.
Oh, yummy. I love yum, yum, yum. That's so good. Love it.
Then Marciniak and Clark examine the boy's sister, who has a cracked, possibly infected tooth, and his mother. They send the family off with a few doses of medicine and instructions to wake someone at the center if the boy's flu symptoms get worse during the night.
Que le vaya bien.
Yeah. Muchas gracias.
De nada.
Gracias.
Bye-bye.
Then they call over the next family waiting to be examined. Similar scenes are playing out across southern New Mexico and West Texas. Federal officials say more than 100,000 migrants were taken into custody in March, the highest monthly total in more than a decade. Most are families fleeing violence, poverty, or political instability and seeking asylum. They turn themselves in to immigration officials, spend several days or even a week in government holding facilities, then get released to shelters and churches like Holy Cross, where volunteer healthcare providers like Eugene Marciniak are waiting.
No, we just check them in, we assess them, we get the history. I mean, our main goal is just to make sure they're not really acutely ill, that they're going to be able to travel in the next couple of days wherever their final destination in the United States is, and to be sure that they're not so sick, both the adults or the kids, that they're so sick that they would need to be evaluated in an emergency room. Because what we can do is very limited. We don't have any testing here, really, that we can do except clinical assessments.
Some migrants arrive at the border in need of medical treatment after long and treacherous journeys. Others become sick while they're in government custody. Dehydration and routine colds are common.
Tonight it was mostly kids with respiratory illnesses.
Holy Cross has been taking in migrants and providing medical exams for several years. But with growing numbers of families crossing the U.S.-Mexico border, more churches are stepping up, a dozen in Doña Ana County. Some don't have enough space for a makeshift exam room, so the New Mexico Department of Health is providing a mobile medical van on loan from Santa Fe. It makes the rounds among several shelters, and it's staffed by volunteers, though the state pays for a driver.
There's a need for the immigrants to be seen, and so some of us are just doing the best we can do with limited resources and, you know, over-the-counter meds and, you know, But it feels very good to be able to help, even in limited capacity.
That's Barbara Clark, the volunteer nurse. She stands by a table loaded with those over-the-counter medications, cough syrup, pain relievers, Pedialyte. The final patients have been sent on their way, so now she and Marciniak take stock of the supplies and make a list of what they might need for next time.
We need some form of children's chewable acetaminophen or Tylenol.
Clark paid for some medical supplies out of pocket. Others were donated by church members. The federal government doesn't pay for this medical care. It's the local community donating time and supplies, trying to meet a growing need along this stretch of the border. For KRWG Public Media, I'm Mallory Falk.